following message is from New Life Gillette series At the Movies. This week, Pastor Mike presents part 5 of this series.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. The reading this morning from the Gospel from Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are all accountable. Praise be to God.
Nobody goes to church anymore. Shut up.
Control your noise. Control your noise. I'm Todd Hewitt.
Think of something else. Think of something else. Think of birds.
You are.
Preacher.
To dust you will return.
Why is the preacher here? You don't even need a preacher. Nobody goes to church anymore.
Judgment.
He heard me. Don't run. Oh, he's hearing that too. Just hide your noise. Hide your noise. I'm Todd Hewitt.
Do not hide your noise. Open your mind.
Stop looking at my thoughts. I am Todd Hewitt. Don't show weakness.
I know your truth. An orphan runt, unwanted, weak, like a woman.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know. Never seen a real woman before. You're all gone.
Weak.
My face hurts. Keep your noise down.
Make the dust.
Oh, at least you didn't bust my lip this time. You're no help.
Buckle up.
Think the settlers are still alive down there?
If they are, they're going to be happy to see us. We're expecting the second wave years ago.
Don't freak out. What did you say? I didn't say anything. She heard that. I'm so scared. Fuck! Get you! What the hell? What is this?
So people from Earth have discovered a new world, but there's something strange about this new world. When they enter the atmosphere, the thoughts of all the men become audible and visual. Everyone can see and hear the thoughts of all the men. The Apostle Paul wrote a lot in the New Testament about our thought life. In fact, I think the Apostle Paul did more to teach us how to control our thoughts than anyone else ever has. And he knew how to do it because he was so diligent to fight the battle in his mind. At one point, Paul said, "I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing it. It is sin living in me that does it." In other words, Paul was waging war in his mind. And can't you relate? Maybe you struggle with insecurity, with anxiety, with fear and addiction. Maybe you deal with hate or anger. And there have been times that you feel like no matter what you do, you lose those thought battles. Eventually, Paul was able to win that war. And the way he did it wasn't by ignoring bad things in the world, but by waging war with bad things, with lies and doubts and temptations. Paul was able to capture those wrong thoughts and replace them with truth, with goodness. That's how he won the battle in his mind. He said, "We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments." The devil tries to shape your thinking, one lie at a time, until you are a prisoner of deception. He tells you that you can't trust people or you'll never succeed. You'll always be broken. You're never going to have a good marriage. He'll say, "God doesn't answer your prayers. You're never going to make a difference in the world." But Paul said, "We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." For me, it's insecurity. I struggle with insecurity. The battle in my mind usually is waged in this feeling that I'm not doing enough, that I'm missing opportunities, that I'm not trying hard enough. I don't think I'm smart enough or liked enough. And if I let them, those thoughts will control me. I have to wage war with those thoughts. I'm not naturally a positive person, but biblical positivity is a tool that I've used to fight the battle in my mind, to renew my mind. The preacher in this scene has given himself to negativity, to hateful thoughts. He sees the noise, that's what they call the audible thoughts that they have, and he sees it as God's judgment. And as a result, this preacher wants everyone to open their minds, to let their thoughts run free. But that's not what Paul calls us to do. And that's not what Christ calls us to do. We are to wage war with our thoughts, to renew our minds. The world tells us our main problem is outside of us, and that the solution to the problem is us. But the Bible tells us to do the opposite. The Bible tells us that our main problem is within us, and the solution is not us, but God.
Hey! Orange.
Hey!
So fast.
Hey!
From the sky.
Hello?
Somebody is flying it. The thief. The thief. Survivor.
Survivors?
spaceship. Graves.
Dead. Buried.
Death. I gotta go tell them. This is exciting. Spaceship.
Here it comes. Gotta hurry.
Never seen a spaceship before. You think it's from Earth?
How do you get a spaceship crash?
Spaceship. Shut up, Todd. Shut up, Todd.
What's the rush?
Gotta go to you.
Oh, you think I can't hear your noise?
What are you babbling about? Nothing.
Where are you going? Hey, come out here.
Control your noise.
Comes in.
Shut up, Todd. Shut up.
Hey.
Hide your noise. Make you
shut up.
Make crash.
Stop.
Todd,
stop.
Is everybody
really?
Stop.
Is everybody
really?
Stop thinking about
it. Out of my face.
Got it.
What are you talking
about? Stop. Get it out of your
face. Where's the shoe?
Go.
Man, I found something.
Second wave.
There's a survivor. He was stealing from our farm. I followed him here.
Here, look.
Gotta be from Earth, right?
Very good, son. Search it. Anything we can use.
The mayor likes me. Likes me better than his boy.
Todd.
Shut up, Todd. I'll touch you.
The survivor. What did he look like?
He was too fast. I couldn't see his face. I don't know how he was doing it, but he didn't have any noise.
No noise?
No noise.
Kidding me.
Find her!
I'll find her, Paul.
Get her! Her? Wait, what? Her? Find her? Space girl. He's a girl. Never seen a girl before. On the farm.
Whoa! Stop! Don't come any closer.
Girl. Girl. It's a girl.
Stop.
Where are you from?
You're a girl.
No noise.
You from Earthy?
Girl!
Dave! Shut up, Todd.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I've just never...
Ever seen a girl
before?
Are you from Earth?
You're really pretty.
Yellow hair.
I found her!
Wait.
Girl.
Stupid noise.
The angel moves swiftly.
There he is.
Mom!
Come over here, son!
Yeah, I'll be out in a minute!
At least it's not beads.
They're Manti. Girl,
she's here.
Yellow hair, she's here.
What the
space girl. Girl!
Be a man. Be strong.
No noise.
Girl. No noise.
Girl. What are you doing here?
Why are you here?
Yellow hair.
She can't be here.
Scared. She's scared.
Don't be scared.
Thief.
Shut up. I'm coming, Pa!
Hey, help her. Gotta stay here. They're all looking for you.
Don't come out. Badgie, come on.
Control your noise. Control your noise. I'm thinking something different.
Chores.
What if everyone could see your thoughts? That's terrifying to think about, isn't it? So let's take a minute to think about what we think about. Are your thoughts usually fearful or peaceful? Are your thoughts usually negative or positive? Are your thoughts usually selfish or selfless? Are your thoughts usually lustful or pure? And if it's terrifying to think about what it would be like if everybody could see your thoughts, we have to remember that God already knows our deepest thoughts. King David said this about God, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do." He sees our anxious thoughts, our hateful thoughts, our sinful thoughts. And how does he react? He has compassion. David went on to say, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. And when I wake up, you are still with me." God is a God of grace and love. And he will fight for us no matter what.
"I'm not going to give her back to the mayor, Killian. I can't do that."
"I like her hair. It's pretty."
"She can't go back there. Please, Ben, we have to help her. Come on."
"She can't stay in the barn. Prentice will find her. We have to give her back. We don't need that trouble."
"No, but that's not what she wants, Killian. I'm not going to give her back."
"Killian, this is his chance.
Would you guys quit looking at each other and somebody talk to me?
Todd, if you want to help the girl, you have to go."
"Go where? There's nowhere else out here."
"There is. There is somewhere else." "Our branch."
"Our branch?"
"Others went over a long time ago, Ben. They never came back. We'll kill him in Far Branch."
"Not if he is with her."
"What about the mayor?"
"Forget about the mayor. If you want to protect the girl, you have to leave now."
"It's a long way. When can I come back?"
Enlighten me.
"Stay with the girl at all times, okay? Don't head on, you're from here."
"Why?"
"Just don't mention Prentice Town."
"What does that mean? What do you mean
just
don't mention this town?"
"Don't mention you're from here. Son, you gotta go. I'm proud of you. Your mom will be too."
"My mom?"
"Wanna go get the girl, all right?"
"Oh, wish I could remember which color scales mean poisonous. Probably doesn't matter once you cook it."
"That's actually not bad at all. Come on, you gotta eat. Come on. Don't think about it." "There you go. It's not bad, right?"
"Can I have some more?"
"Yeah."
"Thank you." "Everything I've ever had was prefabricated."
"What does that mean?"
"Created by lab techs."
"But you have fish on Earth, right?"
"I've never been to Earth."
"What? You were born on the ship? So you're not from Earth?"
"Took 64 years to get from Earth to here."
"I mean, you don't look 64 years old."
"Yellow hair. Pretty.
Really pretty."
"Please ignore that."
"My grandparents were from there. Things started to get hard and they wanted more for their kids, so they signed up for the journey.
64 years, so they must have left before the first wave even got here. Why'd you come all this way if you didn't know exactly what was here?
Why does anyone look for a new place to live? They hope things will be better here. They don't know about the noise.
So your parents born on the ship too? Things still up there? What is she thinking?
We should go.
Secrets. Secrets. Quiet. She's quiet. No noise. Not right. She keeps secrets. Secret.
I didn't ask for any of this, just so you know.
I didn't say you did.
Yeah, but your noise said it.
What, my noise?
Yeah, it's strange to see everything you're thinking.
You know, it was strange for me too, not knowing what's going on in your head.
Not knowing what you're thinking.
I mean, I don't know, you might not like my dog or you want to hit me over the head with a rock or something.
Why would I do that? You have the map.
It's a good point.
They didn't want to share that planet with us. She killed all of them. All of them.
Do you just believe everything that guy says?
Our mayor is a war hero.
Doesn't mean you shouldn't ask questions.
Such an idiot. Such an idiot. Such an idiot.
Todd, I didn't say that.
Why, Rich?
Why does anyone look for a new place to live? Because they didn't like the old place. Why did the Apostle Paul seek to renew his mind to change his life? Because he didn't like the way it was before. Paul said, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Another way of saying change the way you think is renew your mind. I actually think that in some ways, it would be awesome if we could all see each other's thoughts. Did you hear when he was imagining her calling him an idiot? He got so insecure and started putting memories in his own mind that weren't even actually there, never actually even happened. Have you ever been in an argument and you were positive that the other person said something? And she's saying, "I never said that, no." Seeing each other's thoughts would actually be refreshing at times. Viola can see Todd's thoughts, and it makes her trust him because his thoughts are about helping her. He also has some less pure thoughts too, but she knows at his core he wants to protect her. If he had bad motives, she would know it. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could be totally transparent with each other? No secrets. Personally, I don't like keeping secrets. But it's like a main part of my job. I would get in huge trouble if I told you about some of the things that people tell me in counseling. And keeping secrets is extremely hard. But with some secrets, it's actually wrong to keep them. Are there any secrets that you're tired of keeping? Is it time to get them out in the open, to confess them, so that you can truly renew your mind? Maybe today's the day.
When does your ship land? System entry will be any day. If I don't contact them soon, they might move on to the next system and I'll be stranded.
I hope they don't land and she's stuck here. Sorry. I didn't mean to think that.
What you need to contact your ship is in Haven.
Haven?
It's the first settlement.
Another town? more people.
You didn't just think there were two settlements in all of New World, did you?
No, of course not.
Thought it was one. It was one.
We'll leave in the morning.
I'd rather stay with you, Todd. I'd rather be with you. Kiss me, Todd. Kiss me. Kiss me.
No, wait, I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry. Viola.
They made it to Fire Ranch.
Get them in ready.
Yes, sir.
Sinner, the noise demands a martyr.
Where are you going, preacher?
The angel awaits.
I'll fetch the girl.
No. My men can take care of that. I don't want to tell them to pieces.
Martyr! Stop that!
Follow him. Out of distance.
Yep.
What's that?
My mom's journal. Ben must have put it in my bag for me to have.
What's it say?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
You don't know now about your mother?
She died when I was a baby, so.
So? You can still know what she's like.
Dead. She's dead.
She's dead.
That's what she's like.
I lost my parents too. You don't see me yelling about it.
I'm not yelling about it.
This is yelling!
Sorry.
It's just I would give anything to have something that kept my parents alive for me.
Yeah, well, maybe I would too.
You do? You have it. The book's right there.
I can't.
Why not?
Because I can't read, Viola. Aaron burnt all the books when we were kids. He thought that being born with the noise was enough of an education.
Only noise can be light in the darkness.
I could read some to you if you'd like.
Please.
Says KH.
Carissa.
It's beautiful. Okay. My dearest Todd, my dearest son, I begin this journal on the day of your birth. You're the most beautiful thing I've seen on New World. With you in my arms, it feels like this planet is made entirely out of hope. I wish your pa were here to see you, but the Lord saw fit to take him. You look like him. You're going to be tall, strong, and handsome. The ladies of New World won't know what hit them. There's a man named David Prentice. He convinced us all to found a settlement on the far side of the swamp so that the noise from the rest of New World won't reach us. Prentice seems so full of secrets and shame, and this place doesn't allow that. He's better at making his noise disappear than any man here.
I'm the circle. The circle is me. And you. And every other man in this town.
It's so loud here, all the time. The men can't stand women knowing everything about them, and them not knowing anything about us.
Except all men are needed to hold the circle together.
Almost all the men here, they're breaking down. Prentice and Aaron get inside the men's heads. They've given all us women a curfew.
Evil, there's always a woman nearby.
The men are turning on us.
Here, men was killed. Was killed.
Aaron, our holy man, said women don't have noise because we've got no souls. I can see what's coming, clear as day. If things go wrong, keep searching for hope. I want you to remember the song I sing to you every morning. Keep it in your heart, my precious boy. It's a promise. I will never leave you. I will never deceive you.
next? What happened? That's it. That's her last entry.
It wasn't the spackle. The men killed the women.
Men was killed.
Todd has just discovered truth. And in his mind, truth is going to win. He now has a new mission, a new idea of what his life is all about, and that mission will drive him. Here's the reality. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. We can't help it. Our dominant thoughts will control us. Proverbs says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." What is the biggest mental stronghold? The lie that's holding you back? Is it that you're not good enough? Is it that your past is too bad for God to use you? Is it that you can't trust people who love you? Is it that you're always battling with your weight and that you'll never actually win? Or that you'll never get out of debt? That you'll never get to pursue your dreams? That you'll never have a strong marriage? If you allow those thoughts to win, you're probably doomed to failure. But Jesus makes our lives better, and he makes us better at life. God can do in our minds what we cannot. He made us, and he can change us. The truth is that with God, everything is possible. So has truth overpowered lies in your life? Is your life's mission grounded in the truth of Jesus Christ and his righteousness? Eventually, Todd and Viola made it to the old ship, trying to contact Viola's ship. But the preacher, Aaron, fought really hard to keep them from contacting her ship because women don't have noise. And this preacher has convinced himself that the noise was some kind of God. In his mind, the lies had won.
What? The antenna's broken off. We were so close.
If you get everything ready down here, I could probably climb it. Help her.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Gotta get her home. Breathe. And go.
Okay. You got it. You got it.
Come on, Todd. You got this. Don't look down.
Whoa.
Why did you do that? Get her home. Closing it. This is it. Hope this works. Please work.
You murderer!
I showed those women no mercy. I couldn't tell the voice of God from the noise.
I am the sinner! Kill me!
Purify my sin! Purify me! I am baptized with fire!
Don't.
So what lie has a stronghold in your life? Name it, and name the truth that knocks down the stronghold. Because when you know the truth will set you free. So Paul told us to fight with God's mighty weapons. What is that weapon? Ephesians 6 tells us that we have spiritual armor. Our spiritual armor is the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace. And all of those are defensive weapons, but we do have one offensive weapon. What is it? It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What is our weapon? The Word of God. Truth. Truth is our weapon. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. If you want to defeat the stronghold that Satan has on your mind, consume yourself with God's Word. There's a very strong link in Scripture between this idea of renewing your mind or changing the way you think and between seeking God with all your heart. There's a couple times in Scripture where it talks about the thoughts of your heart. And that seems strange, but scientists more and more have begun to discover that there are actually lots of brain cells in our heart. We don't think about it that way, but there are actually brain cells throughout our body, and one of the largest concentrations of brain cells is in our heart. So when Scripture tells us to seek God with all of our heart, it's actually very connected to this idea of renewing your mind. And I think one of the times when people decide that they're going to, they need to make a change in their life, that everything's not okay, is when they recognize how harmful and how sick their thought life is. And if you're in that place where you've started to realize that your thought life is just not healthy, if you're ready to make a change, there are some pretty clear instructions in Scripture about how to do that. The first step is to confess. Confess your sins. Confess the things that need to change in your life. Confess them to God and confess them to each other. Get them out in the open. We need some light shone in these areas. And then we seek God with all of our heart. We dive into Scripture. This is not some get-rich-quick scheme or some easy fad diet that's going to get you in shape without any effort. This is a journey. This is an effort. And you're going to have to put some effort into this renewing your mind and seeking God with all of your heart. So dive into Scripture. Spend time with Him. Talk to Him on a regular basis. Seek God. Don't just, I did some prayer and now I expect everything to change, or I went to church one time and now I expect everything to change. It's going to be a journey. Seek Him. But He promises that He can heal in you what you cannot heal on your own. It's not something that you can just rack your brain and magically make yourself think differently. It's going to be a journey of seeking Him, because it took a long time for you to develop the thought life that you have. So it's going to take some time in seeking Him to change the way things are. God, I pray that You would come into our lives and change us. We thank You that You are the great physician, that You have the power to do what we cannot. We love You and we seek You in Jesus' name. Amen.